Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com. Royce Riley plays here. GCN.
Folks, we are back with the Power Hour. You got to love live radio. You never know what's going to happen. I'm back speaking with Matt Yankee, Planet Earth Products, new silica line at the Power Mall. We're taking your phone calls. We have a short break or a short.
Is your product gluten-free? Because I have celiac disease.
I've spoken with my partners in Switzerland. They have told me that it's gluten-free. I don't see how there could be any gluten in it. We don't use any gluten in the laboratory where it's manufactured. So as far as I know, it is gluten-free. What I will do is I will confirm that once more, and then I will send an email to the Power Hour, and I'll have them list it next to the product.
Okay, that'd be perfect. And I have another question, a quick one. 17 months ago, I had surgery on my little finger, and just I developed adhesions just about, you know, right away, so it only straightened for about a matter of weeks. Is it fruitless to think that it would help this long term?
Not at all, no. Okay. Because when you have, see, what happens is when you're devoid of silica, your body's going to do whatever it can to repair and maintain the structures as best it can. So once you're out of it and you fix the thing, that's what it is. But like anything in the body, if you start taking, and I've seen this with my own eyes many times, when you start taking higher amounts of minerals and health foods and things like that, your body begins to, once it gets like a stockpile of nutrition, it'll go, I've got enough extra nutrition now to invest in fixing things. And that's what basically you'll do. Like, it's like if you were a company, you wouldn't invest in a new product line unless you had excess amount of money to spend on it. You wouldn't do it if you were in debt because you couldn't do it. Your body won't do that either. So once you have a surplus of this in the body, I've seen many times where the body will start to begin to go into the areas and start working on these things. Will it dissolve those adhesions? I don't think so. You'd have to do more than just taking silica. I do think that it will be a benefit to you. I think you would find more flexibility and more limberness in that area of your body.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you for calling.
All right, let's go to Barbara in Illinois. Barbara, do you have a question for the guests?
Yes, I do. Would silica help with degenerated discs, or if you have to have adjustments for subluxation due to maybe a car accident years ago, would it help stabilize in the structure of the disc?
Okay. Now, because you're using real scientific terms there as far as degenerated disc and things,
I
definitely can't go ahead and say it's going to fix degenerated discs because you just can't make those types of claims. I will say this. Have you been listening to the whole show?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So you've heard my description of what silica is in the body, right?
Yeah.
You understand that silica is the maintenance and repair mineral. And so your body's going to use whatever it's got. So if you've got the highest quality silica, that's the most absorbable form of it, and you've got a bunch of it, I've got to believe that the body's going to take and use those nutrients to fix the issues that are in the body. That's my belief on what the body does. As far as curing a disease and curing back problems, I don't know. But I definitely have had, I mean, I've broken my neck.
Yeah, you know, I know. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, you know, I definitely found benefits after years of having the issues of taking the product. And I still take the product every day to help maintain the flexibility and limberness. Now, what I want to say to you and all the listeners is that there's a lot of joint products out there. They're made out of chondroitins and glucosamines. But the problem is we're not missing glucosamines and chondroitins as much as we are missing the substances that hold these things together. So with that being said, I've got to believe that you'll see some sort of support from the product, and that's essentially why I sell it, is to help support the structures of the body. As far as getting rid of the degeneration.
Do you have any neck adjustments or anything at your C5 area?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't need as much as you would think, and I think that has to do with my diet and the things that I do. And I definitely rub silica into my neck, and I have for years, and it makes a big difference. I noticeably feel a difference every time I use it. I do get adjustments, and I definitely feel that prior to taking the product, my adjustments from chiropractors did not go as well.
Okay, Matt, I wanted to thank you for being on the podcast. Sorry we have to cut you off, but we are going into our next hour. I want to thank you. I know we're excited about this new product, 877-817-9829, called the Power Hour. Matt Yankee, thank you so much.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Gary Franchi sitting in for Joyce Riley. We're going into the third hour of the program. Be sure you have your pens and paper out and that you're sitting down firmly secured in your seat, because you're going to learn some new things today that might just knock you over. We're going to dispel some myths with Dr. Edwin Vieira. He actually holds 4 degrees from Harvard. 4 degrees. Not one, four. And for more than 30 years, he has practiced law with emphasis on constitutional issues. He's one of our nation's most eminent constitutional attorneys. He's brought cases, 4 cases, accepted by the Supreme Court. He won 3 of them. This guy is no slouch. No slouch at all. So when I have questions about the militia, the Second Amendment, he is my go-to guy. You know, the Second Amendment says, and I'll read it, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. That's the first part of the Second Amendment. That's the first part. That's the part that was emphasized by the founders. The second part was the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Dr. Vieira, welcome to the program.
And my pleasure to be with you, Gary. Please indulge me a little. I've got a little under the weather today.
Well, I hope that I hope you feel better. I know you're out there out east. Let's talk about this militia, okay? Because people are the Second Amendment. This is the first part. The first part of the Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia. Well, first, before we get into the who, what, why, when, and where, you know, is the National Guard the militia? What is the constitutional Homeland Security? What, let's dispel some of these myths. First of all, why were the founders so concerned and so attached to the militia that they decided to make that the first point of the Second Amendment?
Well, there has to be, in any society, some martial institution to guarantee in the final analysis the security of that society from threats both external and internal. Invasions, insurrections, that type of thing. You can think of the extreme examples. Conspiratorial violation of the laws by people in public office. That might be the next level. And then you can add many other types of problems that would endanger the security of any society, especially a free society. So the question is, where in your governmental structure do you put that kind of a martial institution? Of what should it be composed, and who should control it? And the two examples that were before the founders, actually the Americans going all the way back to the founding of the colonies, the two examples in Anglo-American history were, on the one hand, a standing army, that is, professional troops that were permanently organized and deployed in some way within the society, or a militia, or I should say militias, because there was one in each of the 13 colonies and then the independent states at the time the Constitution was drafted and ratified. And those were the two, if you were paradigms, they were the two ends of the spectrum. And the founders recognized that of those two, obviously the standing army was extremely dangerous. Throughout history, standing armies had been used by usurpers and tyrants to take control of society. Sometimes the armies on their own or their own leaders had decided to follow that course of action. Have, of course, the history of the Roman Empire and the Praetorian Guard, right? The classic example of that, the example coming from the classical period. So the Founding Fathers, who, of course, were students of history, were aware of that. They were aware of those problems in modern European history. They had suffered through, during the late 1770s, the imposition of what amounted to martial law in various parts of the colony, especially in Massachusetts, which was implemented through the British Standing Army. So they were aware of that. Now, on the other side, they had experience going back to the very beginning of the colonies with militias composed of the people themselves. And it became rather obvious as a matter of practice, as well as a matter of theory and a matter of law, because, of course, all of this was in one way or another built into the legal systems of the colonies and the states, that the militias were the only safe depository of that kind of power. Because ultimately they were the people themselves, and unless the people themselves became politically psychotic, or psychotic in the true psychological sense of that term, you would not expect the people to oppress themselves in the way that a standing army might oppress the people. And that's why you find those first 13 words of the Second Amendment written the way they are, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Of a free state, not of a police state, not of a totalitarian state, not of a state built upon martial law. So you can think of all sorts of other adjectives that you might put in there that would be contradictory of the concept of a free state. But it's obvious that the Founding Fathers saw this concept of a free state, a certain kind of political structure, and the militia as being connected in a necessary fashion. Right? We're talking about necessary in terms of fact. We're talking about necessary in terms of logic, in terms of necessary in terms of political principle, all of those elements of the word necessary. So those first 13 words really tell the story. And in a sense, they tell the story of the entire constitutional structure, because the militia at term is not found solely in the Second Amendment. It's found in the body of the original Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 15 and 16. Article 1, Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 refer to the militia. So the Founding Fathers understood, both at the time of the ratification of the Constitution and at the time of the ratification of the Bill of Rights, the essential function, the necessity, as they say, of having a well-regulated militia for the ultimate purpose of the entire constitutional structure. And actually, we could go back to the Declaration of Independence as well, because that's part of the entire fundamental law of the United States, being a free state. And what those first 13 words tell you is, if you want a free state, well, you have to secure it in some way from whatever the dangers might be that would impact on it. And what is necessary to do that is this thing called a well-regulated militia. Pretty simple, right? But written in a way that is essentially timeless, a well-regulated militia being necessary. That's in the present tense, if you will, right? This isn't something that was necessary back before 1791 or 1788 or whatever. It's something that is permanently necessary, because a free state requires the ultimate power, as Mao Zedong would say, political power growing out of the barrel of a gun, the ultimate power in a political society has to be in the hands of the sovereign. That's by definition. Right? And if you have popular sovereignty, popular self-government, then that ultimate political power, the power that goes out of the barrel of a gun, has to be in the hands of whom? Well, the people. Popular sovereignty is sovereignty of the people. And the only way that power can be in the hands of the people is if it is organized in a structure, a martial institution, which the people themselves comprise and the people themselves control. And that is the militia. Now, this is kindergarten stuff, Gary. You don't have to go to Harvard. You don't have to have one degree from Harvard, let alone three or four, to understand this, especially when you look at the history of the colonies and the independent states and the central role that the militias played, at least in the sense of being part of the governmental structure of those colonies and independent states from the very beginning, actually from the charters. Because you'll find references, they don't necessarily use the word militia, but they're talking about that structure in the very charters that the king would give to his favorites when he told them to go over and found this colony or that colony. So it's something that was recognized by the founders from history. It was something that was recognized by their own experience. And they put it into the Constitution in order to provide future generations with the ability to control the political system through the basic principle of popular sovereignty.
Mm-hmm. And the term well-regulated, we're going to go into a break in a few minutes, but I want to start the conversation about the regulate. It says well-regulated militia. Who is doing the regulating?
Well, let's understand. If you use the word well-regulated militia, and you go to a dictionary, you'll find, well, regulate means to control, to put into popular order, proper order according to some set of standards or criteria. So the question becomes immediately, well, what are those standards or criteria? Who decides what they are? And who makes sure that this institution is being put into that proper order? And, of course, the Constitution doesn't define well-regulated militia. It didn't have to. If you look at the original Constitution, set the Second Amendment aside for a moment, talks about the militia of the several states. The President of the United States shall be commander-in-chief of the militia of the several states when called into the actual service of the United States. Well, those were entities that existed at the time. They were not entities that the Constitution created. They were already there. Each of the 13 states had a militia. So if we want to go back and understand what the how should I put it, the average intelligent American, American who was paying attention to what was going on in his society at the time, had some knowledge about politics, about law, and so forth and so on, governmental structure and operation. What the average American understood as the militia of the several states, I can tell you categorically what he understood, because the average American, adult male, free male, because they had slaves, and the slaves weren't involved in this process.
Doctor, we got to jump to a quick break. We're going to finish that thought on the other side. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dr. Edwin Vieira on the Power Hour.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now it's realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a four-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your four-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Gary Franchi sitting in for Joyce Riley. We are in the third hour. Our guest today, Dr. Edwin Vieira. We're talking about the constitutional militia, the first 13 words of the Second Amendment. so often forgotten by so many people. Everyone likes to talk about how he should own guns, but they never talk about the first part of that Second Amendment. His website, if you want to check out some of his articles, newswithviews.com. Oh, man. And just an amazing resource of information. Also, Amazon.com, all of his books there. So many books on this topic and more. One of my favorites is Constitutional Homeland Security. That's exactly what we're talking about today. Doctor, before we went to break, we were just getting into the regulation aspect of it, the definition of regulation. Who regulates this militia?
Well, as I said before the break, anyone who lived in the pre-constitutional period, the late 1700s, any adult free male knew exactly who regulated the militia because he was either a part of the militia at the time, or he had been. Maybe he was too old to be continuing participation, but he had been in the militia sometime during his life, even if he had been a conscientious objector. And if you go to the actual legal evidence, which are the various ordinances and acts and statutes that were passed in the colonial period and then by the independent states prior to ratification of the Constitution, you will find in every one of them, without exception, the militia were regulated by statutes, by some kind of legislative structure. And I give you the example of Virginia. His Virginia, 1776, Virginia enacted the Declaration of Rights, Article 13. Well-regulated militia composed of the body of the people trained to arms is the proper, natural, and safe defense of a free state. Just like the Second Amendment, a little more detailed. Well, then what did Virginia do after that? 5th of May, 1777. Legislature enacted an act for regulating and disciplining the militia. 3rd May, 1779, an act for the better regulation and discipline of the militia. 7th of May, 1781, an act to amend the act for regulating and disciplining the militia. If you go further to after the Second Amendment, after the Constitution and the Second Amendment were ratified, 1st of October, 1792, Virginia enacted the statute entitled an act for regulating the militia of this commonwealth. And if you look at the acts, statutes, ordinances, and so forth of all the colonies and the independent states, they all essentially follow that same linguistic pattern. They talk about regulating the militia in the title of the act, or it certainly appears in the body of the act, and then the specifics of that are the various provisions of those acts that describe exactly how that's going to be done. And I put out a very detailed book, 2,000-something pages long, to CD. It was too long to make a book, called The Sword and Sovereignty, and that's available on Amazon, which goes into this in excruciating detail, using Virginia and Rhode Island as examples, and going through all the statutes, acts, ordinances, and so forth, of those two colonies, independent states, from the very beginning all the way through the constitutional period. And what it shows is that a well-regulated militia, as those people understood that term, was a militia that was organized, structured according to a specific statutory pattern. And you find that pattern worked in every colony and state as well. They didn't have different kinds of militia structures. They had essentially the same militia structure throughout the entire the entirety of British America. That's the history. That's the legal history. That's what those terms in the Constitution meant at that time. And given that we haven't had any amendment of the Constitution with respect to those terms, that's what they mean now.
And the in the next segment, I want to talk about the National Guard. There's a lot of talk, and I've heard people say, well, the militia, you know, it's now the National Guard, and we've got, you know, that's, where is the truth to that? What about the unorganized militia? People
well,
like
it. The unorganized militia, Gary, there's no such thing constitutionally. If you look at the actual history of the colonies and the independent states, and in fact, after the Constitution, going all the way through the 1800s, you will never find a category of unorganized militia. The militia were always totally organized. And there was a set of principles that you could draw from the pre-constitutional period, which describes what these aspects of organization were. But there was never a concept recognized that whole segments of the population that would otherwise have been eligible for the militia could simply be left in a category of unorganization or disorganization. In fact, you look at the Constitution, it provides that Congress shall have the power to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia. Follow that through. To provide for organizing. Well, how
right,
does that result in?
We're going to go to a quick break. We're going to finish that thought about the organized militia. What is it today? On the Power Hour.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. It's 33 minutes after the hour. We're in the third hour of the show, speaking with Dr. Edwin Vieira. I wanted to mention that we do have some specials going on at the Power Mall. And, of course, the way we stay on the air is by your support, and we do need your support. We have Good and Health Naturally products are on sale, as well as Miracle Skin products. We have Numana Food, Mother Earth Minerals, the new product from Matt Yankee, who was on in the second hour. If you guys didn't hear that show, go back and listen to the replay on silica. The organic sil products are 10% off. The jungle peanuts, ink and berries. And we do have, of course, Mother's Day is coming up, and we have these beautiful, heavy duty rooster, colonial rooster dishes. And if you make an order of $200 or more, you get a set of four of these stoneware salad dessert plates that are just awesome. There's only six of them, so you guys hurry up and take advantage of that opportunity. Tons of books and DVDs on sale. You can get monthly copies of the Power Mall, or excuse me, the Power Hour for $25 a piece. We do have limited quantities, special gift packages. You guys give the Power Mall a call at 877-817-9829. That is 877-817-9829.
All right. Thanks for that, Josh.
No problem.
We're talking to Dr. Edwin Vieira. I believe he is the world's foremost authority on the Constitution. And we're talking about the militia as intended by the founders and the regulation thereof. Doctor, before we went to the break, we're getting into that topic. But my main question that I want to go into now is, where is the militia structure today? How has the militia structure changed? Has it changed from the founders' intent?
Well, constitutionally, of course, it cannot change. So we have deviated, or should I say people in Washington, D.C. and state capitals, because I didn't do it, have deviated from the constitutional structure. And they have given us what I would call a bastardized and confused system, which has now two components. One is what they call the organized militia. You can see this in Title 10 of the United States Code, Section 311, where this is spelled out. And that they call the National Guard, or they call the National Guard the organized militia. And then everyone else who's not a member of the National Guard, or the so-called naval militia, which is the naval component of the National Guard, is in a category called the unorganized militia. So we start right there. Constitutionally speaking, there's no such thing as an unorganized militia. So what is this thing called the National Guard? Well, if you actually study the statutes providing for the structure and operations of the National Guard, you realize it could not possibly be a militia, because the first principle of militia organization is essentially near universal compulsory participation. Every able-bodied adult, free male during the colonial period, and today it would be males and females because women have now been legally emancipated, is required by law to perform some function in the militia unless given a specific exemption because of some other function that person is performing in society. And, of course, the National Guard doesn't fulfill that criterion because it is an organization that people join voluntarily. They sign enlistment contracts, typically. And we could go down the list of other principles of militia organization that do not apply to the National Guard. So where does the National Guard fit into the constitutional picture? Well, at the time of the War of Independence, there were three martial institutions recognized in the states, and the Continental Congress, of course. You had the Continental Army, and the equivalent of that today is the regular Army, Continental Navy, equivalent of that is the regular Navy today. Then you had, on the other extreme, you had the militia of the several states. There were 13 of them, one in every state. And that's what is missing today, primarily. And then in the middle, there were actual state troops and state navies that the states raised. All three of these were carried over into the Constitution of the United States. We have armies and navies, which are subject to the control of Congress. We have the militia of the several states, which are state institutions, but they can be called forth to perform certain functions in the service of the United States. And then in the middle, we have state troops or ships of war. Now, the Constitution has a peculiar provision about that, the way it's written. It says, no state shall, without the consent of Congress, keep troops or ships of war in time of peace. So you have to have a congressional approval for the states to have these kinds of regular armed forces. And that's what the National Guard is. It's statutes that were initially begun in 1903, so-called Dick Act, which created the foundation for this system, whereby Congress consented to a certain structure by which the states could keep troops or ships of war in time of peace. And, of course, on the other side of that, well, the states consented, too. And the deal was that the states would get funding for this. And then the people who wanted to participate in that activity, of course, would be at somewhat a higher level of training and so forth than the militia would be. And so those people who wanted to play soldier, in a sense, now found a place to go. Well, the flip side of that statutory construction was to take everybody else who wasn't part of this new National Guard structure, organized militia structure, and dump them into the unorganized militia category. So now what we have is of the three parts in the Constitution, because we have the regular Army and the regular Navy and their components and the Air Force and the Marines and so forth. And then we have the National Guard, which are the state troops or ships of war, but we have no true militia. The vast majority of people in this country who should be performing various functions in a true militia are dumped into this category, the unorganized militia. Now, if you look at the various state statutes, they follow the pattern of the general government. There's a National Guard, it's called the organized militia, everybody else is unorganized. And under some circumstances, usually a laundry list of emergency situations, the governor is given the authority to call up people from the unorganized militia. But typically, and certainly as the case is in Virginia, these people in the unorganized militia have no training, they have no equipment, they don't know what they're supposed to do, where they're supposed to go, what they do. I mean, there's nothing there. So one wonders exactly how the governor would call up this mob to perform some function in a true emergency. And it's nonsense on the face of it. Why was this done? Well, if we go back to when this happened, the turn of the 20th century, this was the beginning of the administrative state movement, the concept that government should be run by expert agencies, expert bureaucracies, and that the purpose of the legislature, Congress, in the case of the general government, or the state legislatures at the state level, the purpose of the legislatures was to give these bureaucrats authority and then fund their activity and then let them go from there and run the situation on the basis of their expertise. And, of course, that whole principle pretty much freezes out people from participation in terms of popular sovereignty. We now have this elite group that's going to control things. We simply give them the power and let them go from there. Well, obviously, in that kind of a system, the last thing you want is for the people to participate in a martial institution which gives them the idea that they hold the ultimate power of society in their own hands. So the same people that gave you the Federal Reserve System, the same people that gave you the 16th Amendment of the Constitution, the same people who gave you the 17th Amendment of the Constitution, those same people gave you the unorganized militia. And they did it for the same reason. As much as possible to freeze out the true sovereigns from participation in sovereignty. And that's what we have now. And that's why this country is completely unprepared for a nationwide economic collapse, banking and monetary system collapse, which is surely coming. Why we would be completely unprepared for a breakdown of the national electric grid. Why we'd be completely unprepared for a real pandemic. Because at the local level where the militia would normally operate and would be structured, we have no structure, we have no operation, we have no training, we have no equipment, we have nothing. And this has all been done because of the political mentality of centralization of power, centralization of control in the all-seeing eye at the top of the pyramid, whether that pyramid is the state pyramid in Richmond or in Austin or whatever the state capital may be, or whether it is the all-seeing eye in the big pyramid in Washington, D.C. So when you look at the militia question is not talking about whether you're going to have a gun or not. I mean, you could have a militia that would be composed 85% of pacifists, of Quakers or Mennonites, you know, people who refuse to use firearms for religious or philosophical reasons. But the militia would give people an institutional position in the government. The militia are governmental institutions from which they could exercise popular sovereignty, which they don't have now. Especially in some kind of emergency situation where you could imagine that the institutions that had been created, Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, and all the rest of this nonsense, would certainly not be able to solve the problem. I'll give you an example of Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, how well FEMA performed there, right? That's kind of an example of where we've been left. And this was done, on the one hand, intentionally, as I say, at the turn of the 20th century, this was the mindset. And then that mindset has clearly been followed and expanded upon subsequently. And then it's been done on the other side as the result of, in a sense, inadvertence. That the average person, he doesn't think about this at all. And if he did, he'd say, well, you know, I really don't want to participate in the movie. I don't want to have to go to four meetings a year. I don't want to have, you know, some checklist of equipment in my home. I don't want to have some, you know, some training, even if it's only a couple of hours a year in things like Red Cross emergency, medical treatment. I don't want to be bothered. All right. So those two mindsets, the mindset of centralized control by an elite bureaucracy at the top of the pyramid and the I don't want to be bothered at the bottom of the pyramid, work together perfectly to transfer real sovereignty from the people who are supposed to have it under our system to the people who are never supposed to have it under any system that could be called a free state. So if you want to blame someone here, I would not necessarily blame the people at the turn of the 20th century, because usually they were pretty blunt in what they stated. I mean, they came out and said, this is what we need to do. They weren't hiding this. I would blame the average American, especially today, especially the constitutionalist and the patriot, so-called, who are running around talking about the last 14 words of the Second Amendment, which are really instrumental to the first 13 words, which are really the key to the whole system, because those 13 words sum up the essence of how you maintain popular sovereignty. And anyone who's a constitutionalist and a patriot, so-called, who doesn't understand how our system is supposed to maintain popular sovereignty is not a constitutionalist, they're not a patriot. It's as simple as that.
Wow.
And if I've offended someone with those statements, I hope so, because I hope to wake some people up to the reality of this situation. We are running out of time. The Constitution tells us what we need to do to maintain this thing called a free state. If you don't do what the Constitution tells you to do, well, then you can expect the opposite to happen. But when that happens, don't say that you're a constitutionalist. Admit that you're something else.
Wow. Hmm. Wow.
Doctor, that says it right there. What about? Here's a question. The Southern Poverty Law Center.
Oh my goodness.
My name is on that list. I'm on a list over there.
Uh-huh.
They are always targeting militia. Now, what militia are they focused on, and what are they so afraid of?
Well, you know, some people in this country, in maybe the late 50s, 1960s, began to be worried about the increasing centralization, socialism, if you will, that was developing, especially in Washington, D.C. And so you had what I call the private militia movement. People who really hadn't studied this subject sufficiently to understand what needed to be done, but they did have the basic understanding that somehow or other, the average person was supposed to exercise these kinds of powers. And the Southern Poverty Law Center is really directing its ire at those kinds of people. The picture that they tend to draw as well, some kind of a redneck, and he's running around the woods in a camouflage outfit, and he's got an AR-15 or an AK-47 type rifle, and he's planning to overthrow the government. Now, the first thing I say to that is, well, those people are not constitutional militia, whatever they may call themselves. But the fact of the matter is, constitutional militia are not designed to overthrow the government. The constitutional militia are part of the government. In fact, they are probably the most important part of the government, because they're the part of the government that would come to the fore in the most dangerous types of situations, those situations that would most eminently threaten the survival of a free state. So the Southern Poverty Law Center is typical with essentially everything they say has it exactly rear-end backwards, if you know what I mean. Now, they're doing that for a very specific reason. They do not want popular sovereignty in this country in any way, shape, or form, because they're not coming out and saying, oh, well, we're against these private militia guys over here, but we're in favor of the real constitutional militia. Oh, no. The real constitutional militia to them would be far more dangerous than the private militia, because the real constitutional militia would not put up with the rest of the nonsense that the Southern Poverty Law Center is spewing. So that's what I find interesting about the spokesman for that organization. When they come on, you know, they're the great experts on this. They never draw the distinction between the private militia people, who are, although they may be, you know, well-intentioned, are misguided in terms of their understanding of the militia. And then the real constitutional militia. We don't see or hear Mark Potok coming out and say, well, I'm in favor of the constitutional militia. We don't have it because it's all unorganized in all the states, and that should be corrected. Do we ever hear him say that? No. And there's a reason for that. Because the last thing those people want is sovereignty in the hands of the American people.
Wow. Wow, you said it right there for sure.
And I'm on their list, too. They call me the architect of militias, as if I had anything to do with that. The Constitution is the architect of militias.
Well, they call me the FEMA fabulist. That's what they like to call me.
Yeah, well, they're masters of the cheap shot, aren't they?
They certainly are. We're almost on a break here, and when we come back, I want to talk about you architecting the militia.
Oh my goodness! All right,
we're gonna make that name stick today. Yes, because you got the book Constitutional Homeland Security. I own a copy. I think everyone out there should own a copy. It's a great guidebook, and it is available at Amazon.com. Also, Edwin Vieira's website, or not necessarily his website, but where you can find his latest articles, investigations, research, commentaries, newswithviews.com, a fascinating place to do research. Doctor, we're up on this break, so when we come back, we will talk about the constitutional homeland security. Is it what we have up there in Washington? We'll find out. We'll be right back.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Gary Franchi sitting in for Joyce Riley. Our guest right now, Dr. Edwin Vieira. He is a master of the Constitution, and he is, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, he's the architect of the militia. Well, we just heard him tell us that, no, the Constitution is the architect of the militia, and we're trying to understand it. And as it is today, and Doctor, you wrote the book, The Constitutional Homeland Security. Get it at Amazon, folks. You need to have a copy of this book. Do we have what is constitutional homeland security versus the Department of Homeland Security that we have in D.C.?
Well, once again, if you look into the Constitution, where do you find the word security? A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. And you also find a reference to security in the preamble to the Constitution, right? To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. And, of course, that ties in with the concept of a free state. So if you were using the Constitution as the basis for designing a plan for homeland security, national security, American security, whatever term you, the security of a free state, why, you'd look at those first 13 words. And you'd say, it has to be built around well-regulated militia. And lo and behold, in the original Constitution, you find some provisions there for doing that at the level of the general government, government of Washington, D.C. And, of course, the militia are institutions of the several states. The Constitution calls them that, the militia of the several states. And, therefore, the body of your homeland security structure would be located where? Within the states and the localities. But the whole thing would be based upon the militia. And what's interesting about this, if you think about just the powers that are delegated to Congress to provide for calling forth the militia, there are three instances. To execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, repel invasions. Well, those three give you a pretty good synopsis of some of the basic elements of any kind of homeland security system, right? You want to be secure against invasions, obviously. You want to deal with the suppression of insurrections, right? Illegal attacks against society domestically. And then the execution of the laws in order to maintain basic law and order. And in the body of the original Constitution, the only institutions that are given that explicit authority are what? Not the Army, not the Navy. I mean, they're mentioned in the Constitution. Not the Department of Homeland Security or FEMA. That isn't mentioned. Those aren't mentioned in the Constitution. That authority and responsibility is given to the militia. And it's interesting, if you look at the president's duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. Well, the president is made commander-in-chief of the militia when the militia are called into the actual service of the United States. So if the militia were called into the service of the United States to execute the laws of the Union, the president would then be their commander-in-chief, and that's how he would perform, one would think, his duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. See, this all ties together. The founding fathers were not a bunch of children. They understood how this kind of a system needed to be structured. So we look today, if someone would ask us today with a clean slate, how do we want to set up a homeland security structure? My answer is, well, we start with the militia. We make sure that in every one of the 50 states, we have a properly organized militia. And we know how to do that. We know how to regulate a militia because we can look back into the colonial period and come up with the principles of regulation and all of those ordinances and statutes. And I wrote a book on this called The Sword and Sovereignty. Let someone try to refute that. The history is what it is.
The history is what it is. The history is what it is, yes. Doctor, we got to go. We're up against the clock. Thank you for joining us. Newswithviews.com. Amazon is where you can get his books. Dr. Edwin Vieira. I'm Gary Franchi. Joyce will be with us next week. And Jack, what's tomorrow?
Awesome show, Gary. That was an awesome show, Gary. Good job.
Thank you, Jeff. Dr. Edwin Vieira, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm excited about Joyce being back next week. I'll be gone for a couple weeks, folks, but I'll see you when I get back.
All right, you've been listening to the Power Hour on GCN. I'll see you on Friday.